Hey y'all, after these messages, we'll be right back.
Holding on, Jack, please. You better believe I'm holding on for you, Jack. Holding on, you better believe I'm holding on. Holding on, you better believe I'm holding on. Holding on, you better believe I'm.
Click off the screen. I don't know if I'm live yet, on yet, or what. So let's see. All right, I'm back. So as you can see, today is really, really laid back. I mean, tonight is really, really laid back. And I'm okay with that. You know, I'm in my crafting room in case you see a bunch of junk behind me. It is what it is. Today whooped me. Listen, I got a lot of work done at work, but yeah. Today was just one of them days. And honey, I'm telling you right now, I ain't got time for it. Today's show, I want to talk about believing in you. I want to talk about when you get to that place where the very people that supported you and did the things that they did and told you, you know, that you was awesome, powerful, and all that kind of stuff, decides to abandon you, ridicule you, talk about you, scandalize your name, withdraw their hand from your life, and think that you're going to fail. Okay? I'm going to talk about that today. Because we put too much of our... We put too much of our hope and faith in people and their support for us. You have to have this deep down on the inside of you, and you have to be willing to walk this thing out if you have to walk it all by yourself. You have to. You have to. It's going to be some days where the main people that rah-rah and cheered you on are going to disappear. And it ain't magic. They just gone. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? What do you do with that when you are the whole little excitement? You know how people get excited to begin with. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, this is powerful. Oh, this is going to be great. When the excitement wears off and you're by yourself, I think it's really a challenge of was this really your vision, or was this something you were doing for attention? Everything gets tested when people start disappearing. everything get tested. Your vision get tested, your drive and your passion for whatever it is you're doing, it gets tested, you know. So what do you do? What do you do? Listen, let me tell y'all something. I have had family don't show up, not concerned about being a part with stuff. But guess what? It's not their responsibility to be a part of it. Who did God give the vision? Who did God give the plan to? Who did God tell to run? He told you to. I know it's hard. I know that you got naysayers. You got folks that claim that they gonna walk it out with you when you first start out. They got the t-shirt on and the cap and they got a song. They there for you. But you can't hear me? Oh my God. Okay. Rita, talk. Can you hear me, Rita?
I can hear you.
You can hear me, but they can't hear me. So I'm going to click out. Yeah, I can hear you. I'm going to click out and come back. But Rita, tell us about your day. I will be right back.
Well, hey, my day has been going great. Well, actually, it was a little rough in the beginning, but it has been going great so far since then. But yeah, we are doing good here. So we're just going to wait for her to come back in.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I mean, I was able to hear you the first time.
Oh.
Can they hear you?
Tiffany, can you hear us? Our faithful, look, we got a faithful viewer on here. Tiffany, can you hear me?
Tiffany.
Tiffany is on here. Okay, so what I was saying, did you finish what you were saying, Rita?
Yeah, I was done. I was a little lost.
Okay, this is what we're talking about on the show tonight. How do you keep the faith with your vision in your business or whatever it is that God has given you to do when everybody has abandoned ship? Why is it important? First of all, okay, at the beginning, this is what I was saying. Everything is going to get tested when you have a vision. Everything. Your faithfulness, your is this really your passion? Your motives are going to get tested. You know, what were you doing this for or who were you doing this for? Because sometimes a lot of the stuff we are doing has nothing to do with what God told us to do. We're just adding on stuff. We just try. And a lot of times, even with family, we want to impress family. We want family to be just bewildered with us. So we start doing stuff just because we can. It does not mean that God has told you to do it. So when people start a bet, I'm going to tell you something. God will test it. And God sometimes test things so you can see.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that what you are doing is not something that he had in the plan for you. Okay? Oh, for example, when you start a business and the whole family is excited, right? Then the business get a little hard, finance get a little hard, and everybody start jumping ship. Everybody start, you know, I got other stuff to do. Or they don't take you serious anymore because they're family. Family does that. Family don't think you all that because the first thing they say is, I grew up with you. You forgot right. What you call, you know, and before you know it, boom, family is gone, right? This is where you get tested for real. You get tested because you saw it. Now, either you gonna stop doing what you claim God told you to do, or you're going to keep moving forward. right? So your motives are tested. Let's stay in motives. I see you, Rita. I see your face, Rita. What you want to say about these motives? You want to say about?
You know, it's funny that you're talking about that because I'm experiencing pretty much all of that right now. I think, you know what? I don't even know where to begin. All of that, like pretty much everything when you know there's a purpose on your life, the enemy come in and just want to wreak havoc. He'll use family. He'll use anybody. That's what my post is about earlier, about he'll use anybody to attack you, whomever vessel is willing. That means mama, sister, brother, uncle, best friend, you know, anybody to keep you distracted from the purpose or the plan that God has given you. Because when you say yes, it's something about when you say yes that all of a sudden everybody, you know, start acting a plump fool, you know. And so it keeps you distracted. It keeps you unfocused. It keeps you, I guess, unsober. I guess that's the word to say, because your mind is not sober minded. You're under the influence of stuff and distraction and frustration and decisions and things you have to make. And the only thing, like I was speaking with someone, is the fact of you have to keep the faith. Not that saying that you're giving up on your vision. If you have to take a detour, that's fine. Take the detour, but don't forget about the vision that God has given you. Don't forget about the purpose of God, because it's still at the end of the day, it still remains that your gift will make room for you. The thing that God has put inside of you will prevail if you don't give up. If you stay the course and don't give up on the vision that God has given you. You may have to work at it at a time. That's okay. It's fine. I learned that we get anxious. We get real anxious and we want it to happen now. I want it to happen now. But things don't seem to go that way. You're like, Lord, finance is getting hard. And Lord, finance is struggling because it's not coming in like I need it to. You know, then it starts causing havoc in your home. It starts causing havoc in your relationship. It starts because things become strained and everything just kind of become hard. So it's hard to maneuver. So then everybody walking around frustrated and crazy and you trying to, you like, God, I know there's a vision. God, I know there's a plan that you have for me, but it's not coming to fruition fast enough. So one thing I decided, he said, keep the faith. I remember like early on when I was looking for my own place to stay and my vehicle before I started driving, I would literally I was catching a bus to school. I was in college and I would catch the bus because I didn't have a car. And I would literally walk out to the driveway, pretend to put my key in the car and get in the car and like I was driving. It looked crazy on the outside, but I did it by faith to come in so it could come into fruition. And even when I didn't have my own place to stay, I would go into apartments or whatever to, you know, by faith, you know, because faith is a substance thing hoped for. That means you cannot see it, but the evidence is not yet seen. So you can't see it. It's something that you hope for. So it's not something that you see with your eye. And so I would go into apartments and act like, oh, let me go in and get in my place and drive right back out. If somebody knew what I was doing, it would look crazy to the natural eye. But that's what faith is. But the thing is about the faith, we can't give up. It's the things that hope for, but the evidence that I see. But while you are keeping the faith, you have to work. It's a, you know, faith without works is dead, but you got to keep faith, but you got to keep working while you have a faith. So even with our dreams and our visions and our things that we're trying to do, the purpose on our life, we can't give up, but we got to work while we waiting, you know, while we seeing, while we don't see the things coming into fruition, we still got to put the work in. We got the faith, but we got to put the work in. And it's like, that's what we got to remember, that faith without works is dead. Yeah, I can have faith all day. Oh God, my business going to blow up, but my business going to do this. I'm going to be a big business one day. But if you're not doing nothing, to make it a big business.
Come
If you're
on.
not getting up and working, and then sometimes you, like I said, you got to work at it daily. You got to tap on the daily. You go in and go say, today I'm gonna work on my website. Today I'm gonna work on my business cards. Today, because I'm big on learning, God has been putting in my spirit, is work on your foundation. Get your business website together. Get your business cards together. Get your marketing material together. Get so when people do come, when I bring the people, you gotta be ready. So you've got to have the faith. The faith is, I can believe all day, but what are you doing? What are you doing to work towards the faith? You know, you and, want a job. You're not calling nobody. You're not putting in no applications.
You ain't put no applications.
So, yeah, it's, you know, you say faith is hoped for. You say the evidence is not yet seen, but if we believe in it and we don't give up, you know, you look, I just have so much to say about that right now because I'm just like fired up. I've just been, I've been lit all day. I've been fighting.
I'm glad that you have, because I wanna really like get in depth about binging, because like I say, sometimes we get so drunk off of support to when the support is gone, we don't know how to function without it. We don't understand that our vision has nothing to do with people supporting you. Your vision has to do with obedience to God. Like you say, faith. Faith is the substance, you know, and we forget about the substance. We forget about showing God proof that we believe what he said he was going to do. You know, my husband, my kids, they know me. They know with or without you, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done, because if God showed it to me, if he showed it to me, it's supposed to happen. So I got to show God through my faith and through my substance and through my work. I let me get up and get to work to show God I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. Our help comes from him. So we talk about motives. I want us to filter, or I guess you could say purify, what we're doing. Because a lot of the things that we're doing have nothing to do with what God set for us to do in our lives. We know that. Just think about people's Facebook life, watching people do things. Now all of a sudden you doing what they do. You know, it is an addiction for some people. You know you don't have no business doing what this other person doing. It's so hard these days to stay focused. It's so hard for you to, when we were in school, they used to say, stay on task. Life happens. Yes, it does. But if you don't be careful, guess what? That life happen thing will get you off course. It will get you, you'll be all the way somewhere that you don't have no business in. You say, why am I doing all this stuff? I remember one time God had to stop me in my tracks and say, hey, that has nothing to do with what I told you to do. Nothing. All of that you're doing, because some of the stuff I was doing, my family members that I wanted praise and approval from, and I wanted to fit in, started liking it, right? I'm going to just get in people's business. Yeah. Some of y'all love to impress your family members. Impressing your family members ain't got nothing to do with the vision God has given you. It has nothing to do with your gift. It has nothing to do with what God needs from your life. So you have to be very, very careful not to get distracted, to not end up veering off course just because somebody said it ain't working. Somebody said it ain't making no money. Somebody said, you've been doing it for years. Watch your step. Oh, I like that right there. That was off the top. Watch your step. Watch what you do. Make sure that emotions, embarrassment, fear of failure does not veer you off course. Because guess what, y'all? Every try we make is not going to work. You're going to have to get up, dust yourself off, and you have to try it again. That's how it goes.
Right.
It's how learning.
Yeah. And every successful person that you even hear about in history, you know how many times they tried?
Oh, my God.
Before they was actually successful, the thing was they never gave up. You don't give up. If you give up, that very next time you try, it could have been your successful moment. But if you give up on the plan, it's trial and error. You learn, you fall, you make mistakes, you learn and you get up and you fall and you get up and you learn. And it's just a repetitive thing until you find out what actually works. You try this, you try that. And not everything in the beginning is successful. Matter of fact, for some time, it don't really be, it don't be perfect, and if you one of the people that suffer with perfectionists, you have, issues with moving forward. I was telling somebody that earlier, and I was just evaluating myself and finding out, okay, so what's the problem? And I started realizing, I said, oh, okay, look, I gotta get rid of this, I gotta stop this, I gotta do this, I gotta, because look, I'm like, okay, God, what's holding me back from the vision? And like you said, it don't have nothing to do with nobody. Like, I'm not in competition with nobody. Like, I care less about that type of stuff. My whole goal is to fulfill God's plan for my life, and whatever that is, and what He has put in me, that's what I'm striving to be. I'm just striving to be better than the person I was yesterday. I'm just trying to beat my own self and my own demons that I'm fighting that's holding me back. You got to realize, I was saying this earlier because I'm telling you, I was so frustrated. I was like, okay, what's this holding me in bondage? What is this? What's holding me from being free to live in the God fulfilled purpose for my life?
Come
And I
on.
look at it, I say, we got to be willing to let go person, people, places, things,
That's it.
situations, spirits, whether it's fear holding you in bondage, it's insecurity holding you in bondage, if it's jealousy and competition holding you in bondage, whatever it is that's holding you in bondage for fulfilling what God has on your life, you got to ask God to free you of that. And I had to go back and evaluate some things. I'm like, okay, God, look, what is this holding me? Is it me? Is it you holding? You got to realize, is it myself holding me back? And a lot of times it'd be ourself holding us back, because only you, my daddy used to always tell me, he said, you are your worst enemy. You're the only person that can hold you back from being what God wants you to be or doing what God wants you to do. Because like you said, it wasn't a conference call when he gave you the vision. He gave it to you.
It wasn't
It
God.
wasn't a conference call. He gave it to you. It was a purpose. He put this in your DNA. I'm
Come
not
on.
worried about nobody else that's trying to do what I'm doing. I mean, like I said, if it's not in you to do it, it won't last anyway. So I'm not
Anyway.
worried about what somebody else duplicating. I mean, because a lot of people have similar gifts, and that's fine. Look at the bread aisle, like they say. Everybody had the same vision, and apparently they all still being supported because all the bread's still on the aisle. So I'm not worried about all of that. I just know what God put inside of me. Let me fulfill that. Let me stay in my lane. God, what is that you have for me to do? And then, like you said, huh?
And a dangerous thing too is when we allow people to come in and rearrange what God told you to do. See, the confidence you have to have, you have to have confidence that whatever God gave you to do, He's going to give you the instructions,
Right.
or He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you, I guess, guidance to know what to do and what not to do. I've had a number of people that show up, woman of God, you need to do it like this. Woman of God, you need to do it like that. People saying it, now let's be honest. People that you love or that's close to you or that's in your heart will say different things and you'll try to consider what they say. And
Right.
let's be real, you'll try it. And God
Yeah.
will say, excuse me, that's not their vision. Excuse
Right.
me, I did not, because I promise you, I come from a family of nine, it's nine of us. Okay, nine. Okay, I have a twin, then it's another set of twins, and everybody has something going on. Okay, and it look, but my family is very sarcastic and has a little riddled with a little negativity every now and again. And if you are not strong and are not confident in what you are supposed to be doing, come out and careful about what you allow to go in this ear. You'll be messed up. You really, you will. because everybody has ideas. Everybody feels, you know, want to see something go the way they that makes sense to them. The one thing I always tell people, what God tells me to do will never make sense to you because he did not tell you. He told me. And it's important when I stand before God, he's going to say, why did you do that? I didn't tell you to do it. I can't sit up there and say, well, my mama said, you know, my mama said, do it, you know, like this, it was going to work. He said, but that ain't what I wanted. That's not what I wanted out of your life. You know, if I tell you to go and set up, just like he told Abraham to leave his father and his mother's house. It was the reason he told them to leave. God wants all the glory. He wants all of it. He don't want you to just get, you know, sample the glory. You know, here, mom, you know, maybe you could tell me if God is pleased with this. No, he wants every single last bit of the glory. So if he has to get you by yourself, he will do it. If he have to put you in a place where you are all by, because watch this, God knows that you're going to fulfill what he told you to do. But if he has to put you by yourself in order for you to do, to fulfill it the way he wants it done, he will do it. He will cause folk that you love and have placed up on pedestals. He will call, he will move them out the way.
Mm.
I'm just trying to tell you, I know that people are like, whoa, but that's for real, y'all. He will move people out of the way so that he could get what he need to get from your life. He desired, and this is the crazy thing we don't understand. We were not just born to be born. Before we were born, he said, I want to make a reader, right? I want to make a reader to accomplish this. He made Rita to accomplish this. He did not make Rita, right, to fulfill dreams that somebody in her family couldn't get done while they were young. No.
Right.
Right? He made Rita for his purpose, right? So if he made Rita for his purpose, that means he's the only one that knows how that purpose can be fulfilled. So he's the only consultant. Come on. He's the only one with consultation. He's the only life coach, vision coach that you need. And it's hard for us sometimes because we want things when we want it. We want an understanding right off the bat. But sometimes God, he don't want us to know the whole plan so we can learn how to trust him. He don't want us to know you. How does it, Lord, tell me? I need to know now. Lord, I'm about to lose it. No, you need to kill those anxieties and trust it. You know, oh, my mama don't believe him. Oh, my friends are laughing at me. He say, I don't care. I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me. Look, what happened with Joseph, right? Old Joe, right? He was having visions and dreams that he was going to bring his family out. Visions and dreams. Oh, and he was telling it. Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring y'all. I'm going to deliver y'all. they thought he was arrogant. And plus, they was already jealous of him, felt like he thinks y'all because daddy liked him and all that kind of stuff. You know, guess what? We're going to take him up out here. Put some blood on the coat, give it to daddy. We finna get rid of him. Right. They didn't know that them abandoning him was pushing him into his destiny. So let me bring it back. So y'all catch this one. They got to leave. I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago. Judas was necessary. Everybody want to talk about Judas, but Judas was necessary. If we wouldn't have had a Judas, come on. If we wouldn't have had a Judas, we wouldn't be in a position we are right now. Judas was necessary. Your people abandoning you is necessary. Folks turning their back on you is necessary. Why? Because God needs, he's trying to protect the vision that's in you. He's trying to protect that promise he put in you. He's trying to protect something that's going to turn around and that's going to deliver folks later. So guess what? Some folk right now can't be on the boat. They can't. They can't because they're going to distort it. They're going to put their two cents in. They're going to become hindrances. Like he said in his word, who hindered you? They're going to become hindrances. They're going to manipulate. They're going to run their mouth. They're going to give you a whole bunch of extra stuff to have on your shoulders and everything that you don't need. So he said, okay, let me scoot that one. Oh, let me clear her path. But some of us get so lost in pity, self-pity. Oh, I need somebody. Oh, Lord, I'm by myself. Oh, Jesus. You don't believe unless somebody is with you. God is not enough. Come on, he has to be enough. He has to be enough in this season. He has to be enough. Come on, hallelujah. I want to get you. I need somebody to grab this word. He's saying, I just want you to understand that I am enough. I want you to understand it. I'm all that you need. I died. I gave my son. Oh my God. So that he could become the door. So anytime you needed something, you could just go call. Look, you could go to the door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am all that you need. Look, he said, who do you say that I am? He said, he said, I am that I am. Lord, have mercy. It is, that's what I am. Whatever you need, that's what I am. My God, I believe it alone. I done went too far, but listen. All that you need is Jesus Christ. All that you need is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not give his life for nothing. He didn't give it for confusion. He didn't give it. He gave it so that when you begin to walk out his father's vision, you could walk it out in freedom. You could walk it out without heaviness. You could walk it out, come on, without feeling guilty about leaving folk behind. You could walk it out. My God, I'm trying to help somebody today. Amen. Hallelujah. Who am I preaching to? Myself? Myself?
Me too.
Myself? Because I'm telling you, when folk get the down on you and talking about they, it be folk you love and right in your face and making you feel like you ain't nothing. But guess what? You got to dig through all that garbage and keep going. All right, Rita, go ahead. I see you. Go ahead.
Look, I'm taking it all in. Trust me, I needed all of that today. I was just, you know, in that place where, you know, you get in that betwixt and you listen to everybody and you're hearing everybody and you're trying to trust God in the midst of the process of what you know he has called you to do. And you got to know that you know that God has the plan on your life to fulfill the purpose that he has for you. It's not about everybody else. It's not about, you know, what mama, sister, brother say. Because like you said, they don't understand. They don't understand the vision that God has given you, and you have to make sure that you in tune and have that to be able to hear from God on, like you said, the instructions. He'll give you the instructions and the guidance and the people. You know, a lot of times the people around you, you expect to support you, like family and friend. They may not be the ones that'll support you. God will put the people that he wants to support you if you do his will. He's like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to encourage the people. I want you to do this. And the very people that you think should put you up there or lift you up, they may not be the ones that do it. They may not be the ones to give you the platform to do it, but God will put people in your life. So that's why it's so important that we should trust God and what he have us to do and what he has called us to do and the gifts that, you know, he has put inside of us. Because I know there's a gift that I had since I was a kid and I know it's from God. And I'm like, because when God and I speaking, I don't have nothing to say. I'm just I'm just as clueless. I'd be like, dang, I'd be like, Lord, bring it back, please, Lord. I'll say something. I'd be like, Lord, I'll say it. I'm serious. I just be like blank minded. Like I'll read some of the stuff I wrote and I'll be like, I wrote that. Like, what was, you know, and it's not nothing. It's a gift. And it's like, but you have to be in tune with God. Like you said, for him to instruct you on what to do and what to say. Because when you're not in that place, when you have all of this oppression or opposition around you to keep you unfocused and keep you distracted, you can't hear. Because it said you have to be sober-minded. You have to be diligent and watchful and sober-minded where you can hear from God to know you can't have all this clutter. And, you know, sometimes you got to get in that place where you say, okay, God, I need to be able to hear from God. Look, leave me alone. Get out of here. Don't say nothing to me. Don't talk to me. Look, I need to be able to hear to know my next step, to know my instructions, what I need to do next, because I'm in a place. And I'm that type of person where I don't make a move. Like, I get scared. Like, I don't, because I don't want to make the wrong move. So it's important that I hear or have the instructions on what to do. And like I said, I can't write. Like, I be trying to think and I be just so blank minded. I'm like, oh Jesus, I ain't even been. It's like you have to have that connection with God. Yeah. You ever had a battery that had corrosion on it and it didn't have clear connection? Yeah. So the car wouldn't start up. As soon as you clear all that corrosion off of it, it have a connection. And that's how we are with God. When we have all this stuff in between us and God, frustration and argument and fighting and fear and all of this stuff, we don't have a direct connection. So we have to clear all that stuff out of our heart. We have to clear all that stuff out of our mind. And we have to be sober-minded and be under our spirit has to be clean and pure and be able to hear. Because if we're not sober in our spirit, I ain't talking about under the influence of alcohol. I'm talking about under the influence of another spirit. Well, if you're frustrated and you confused and you got all this stuff going on that's not keeping your mind clear, you can't see the vision. The vision get blurry because you got all of this stuff clouding, clouding the vision, clouding your ears from where you can't hear. And guess what? While you're distracted, the God's work can't be done. So the enemy know if I can keep you distracted, the enemy know I can keep all these people in your ear and clouding your vision. I know the work can't get done. So that's why we have to take the time and say, look, I gotta stop. Evaluate my situation. Lord, I need some solutions. I need some clarity. I need some things to be able. So my thing is like with the topic, don't give up. You got to just keep finding out what's going to work. You got to don't give up. And that's the thing. If we just don't give up and hold on, the race is not given to the swift, to the strong, but the one that endures until the end or whatever God has given you to do. We want to find ourselves doing it, you know, whatever he give you to say, you know, and sometimes we don't always get it right the first time, but I'm thanking God for grace. I thank God for mercy to be able to give us the chance and the opportunity every day we get up. You know, we got to look at it like, okay, God graded me. He's like a teacher. You know, you put on, it's like a teacher. And when you being graded on a test, it's like, okay, what is Rita doing today? Is she doing anything like I done told her to fulfill her purpose? What grade did you get today? And I'm just like, oh, Lord, I ain't done nothing today. I done failed today. Lord, I need mercy. Lord, I need grace. I need another day. because it's like, you know, because it's going to always be, it's always spirit against flesh. So while you're trying to do the right thing, you know, things don't come against you to throw you off track. The last couple of days, I've just been like, hold up, wait a minute, stop. You know, I have to, you know, I'm sorry, I had a text come through. So you have to just take the time to evaluate, work out, write down some things, get some things under control. And then he's like, okay, I can't give up this. God giving me this vision, you know, even if you have to, you know, work for somebody else, that's fine, you know. God has given you a vision. Just keep going at it. Just don't give it up on it.
And it's like you said, even if you have to do a little bit at a time, you know, not every, it's crazy because if you don't be careful, you'll walk away from the vision. You'll get so far away from the vision. You'll be like, wait a minute. And this happened in my life. I had to stop and I had to start peeling off stuff. I had to start, filtering. I had to start sifting and filtering through stuff and seeing, is that something that God told me to do? Even with people, is that a relationship that God told me to be in? Or was that something I did? Because Sometimes we think that even in our personal life, it has nothing to do with the vision. But even things that's going on in our personal life has to line up so that, because you can't just be dealing with any and everything. You know, we're like, well, I'm going to separate this from this, but you can't. The enemy is trying to find, like you were talking about earlier, the enemy is trying to find any kind of way that he can distract you from being who God called you to be or accomplishing the things that God has called you to accomplish. And you have to stay close to God so that you can have discernment and be sensitive to the things that come to distract you, that come to hinder you, that come to knock you off track. You have to be sensitive to those things, but you can't do that. Like you say, you got all kinds of clutter. Look, even in your house, I always tell people, I read people by their house, right? So I read myself by my house. If my crafting room right now is all out of whack, that tells me something about my life. That tells me about something that's going on with me that I need to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. So even with you, you know the things that's going on with you. Can we just talk about being real and being honest? You know the things that's out of order in your life, right? When one thing is out of order in our lives, we tend to overcompensate in one area and neglect another one. Oh my goodness. And so when we realize, man, I done fell off right here. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God trying to show you through what's going on around you that you need to stop. What they say, stop, look, and listen. You need to stop. You need to evaluate. And then you need to start cleaning house. Because like we said, it's very, very dangerous or detrimental to the vision or to whatever God has called you to do when you cannot keep up with what you're doing, okay? Right. Listen, I was going through a lot of memory loss. I couldn't remember things. I was overbooking myself. I was, you know, and I just had to stop. Do you hear what I'm saying? Then I had a negative voice always saying little ugly stuff, picking at me. I had to stop myself because I couldn't control what I was saying. I'd go off. And look, and God say, one day God say, I need you in prayer. So everything had to stop. When I say everything had to stop, because hun T, ghetto superstar had come onto the surface. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Oh my.
And God had to say, listen, little sis, little daughter, I need you in prayer. Because you see that right there? That's from too much going on to where you can't focus in on me. How can you see the vision? How can you operate in excellence when you are not close to me? How can you do it on your own? Right. Baby, because I'm telling you, like a hairline trigger, just going out. But see, we don't want to be real about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be honest about what frustrates us. We don't want to be honest about all the things that we're taking on. We won't say no to people. We won't, you know, we won't turn people down. We want to show up at everything. We want to be present in our lives for everything. We want to be the helper. We want to be the fixer. We want to be the mind regulator. We want to be everything.
Wow.
But it goes back to last week. We said, if you didn't gave out all that you have, what's left? That's why Nene was on surface. Nene said, oh man, she wore out. Now I can get up here and act a fool. Do you hear me? Folk got talking to me and I'd be like, I don't know who you talking to. But I do know.
You know why I'm laughing? Because like I am like experiencing all of that. And I was on the phone with somebody earlier, and I was like, I need to pray. I'm like, because like my temper was just, oh. I mean, a match is just, and like you say, Boo Queen should be cut by that. And I was like, you know what, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord, forgive me, deliver me. Look, I have to
Amen.
go in. I mean, because like you said, when you run up fumes, you take care of everything, everybody, all this stuff on your plate, and you don't have time. You try to work the vision, you try to do all of this stuff, and you try to still try to stay in tune with God and work. And then it's just a lot going on. And like you said, it's important that we stay in prayer. It's important that we stay in tune with God, because He's the one who give us the strength. He's the one who give us the strength that we need, the grace that we need. Because if not, like you said, you'll be running on fumes from pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And then nobody's pouring back into you. So it's like you need some pouring back into, or you got to stay in tune with God, or you got to stay in prayer and into your worship to be back fulfilled. Because when you pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out, and that comes with leadership, you know, when you're pouring and pouring into everybody's life around you, it's like they don't have the ability to pull back into you, but they need the gas for them to keep going. So then you look forward and say, okay, God, what do I get my strength from? He's like, well, your strength comes from the Lord. So it's important that you stay in tune as a leader, because when you're a leader, you know, sometimes you tend to end up running on fumes because there's nobody that has the capacity to pull back into you. You know, they pull back into you, it's like a cap full, and you a whole bottle. So you need somebody that have the capacity to be able to pour back into you. And so I think it's very important for us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and talking to God and keeping a prayer life. That way, so when you need the strength to go forward, you need the strength to be pouring into everybody else that is there. You know, all you have to do is tap into it. I ordered this shirt. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you bring my past, you should know that Jesus dropped the charges. Yes. We can't focus on everybody else and what they saying, because as long as God has given you a clear path, that's all that matter. That's all that matter. Yeah, we can't always listen to people and what they say, and because they don't know, they don't understand. And I think we get caught up, especially to the people that's closest to us, because we expect them to understand.
Yeah.
But it is not always that. As a matter of fact, them the ones that get to you the worst. They the ones get to you the best, the people that's closest to you, because anybody else, you just be like, look, I ain't got to talk to you again, whatever. Feel how you feel. But the people that's closest to you is the people that actually get to you the most, because them the ones you expect to support you, them the ones you expect to encourage you, the ones that you expect to help you move forward. But then that's not always okay. They might be the one that's pulling you down.
That's true. You know, this week, I'm gonna tell you what happened this week. That I had asked someone to be a part of something special to me, right? And they backed out of this. Is a very major person for me in my life, right? Oh, I was hot. I was so mad. When I say, look, I don't know about everybody else that like the front, like they don't get mad, but this right here rubbed me so wrong. I came home, threw my purse on the floor, sat on the couch, and my husband was looking at me, and I was like, you know what? That's it. I can't. I was going in. I say, you know what? Then as I began to rant, I began to say, you know what? Everybody count me out. Don't nobody do that. Da, 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 da. And they out. It's so easy for folk to disappoint me. And So I'm going through, right? By the time I got through this whole little rant, the Lord said, first of all, you didn't have no business inviting them in the first place. They have never supported you. You have always desired for them to support you. And you knew from the beginning that they never show up anyway. So what you mad for? Oh, face cracked. right? I was like, but I want to be mad. He was like, nope. You allowed this to happen. You allowed yourself to be set up for disappointment. And we all do that with certain people. We give some people a lot more grace than they deserve. This is all I'm saying. They never really show up for you. This goes back to motives. At the beginning of the show, when I was talking about motives, what is our reasoning for attaching ourselves to some of these people? What is our reasoning for constantly inviting people that mean us no good, that are not supportive, that have never been there? We give them fake, we give them false and fake accolades. We talk about them like they have just been the best of. When are we going to start looking at people through reality? When somebody show you who they are, when they show you what they're capable of in your life, you cannot change people. Can we just give a nugget of wisdom? God changes people. You cannot change people. And I want to say this. I lived my life trying to get my family to be proud of me, trying to get my daddy to be proud of me, trying to get my mama to be proud that she got a daughter that's a preacher, right? God chin checked me so cold-blooded the other day. He said, are you preaching for me or are you preaching for your mama? Oh Lord. He said, why are you so disappointed? He said, I'm still here. I'm still loving you, making a way for you. I'm still providing for you. I'm still speaking to you and revelating to you. Why are you so mad? I said, oh my. Chin check, y'all. Chin check. Because first of all, we have to put things in perspective. I don't know if I'm still moving on my screen. I'm stuck. Am I stuck, Rita?
No.
Okay. It's time to get delivered from people pleasing spirit. That people pleasing spirit can disguise itself as wanting gratification because it's owed to you or due to you from people. You don't need that. You don't need that. It's good to have it sometimes, but you don't need that. I'm saying that to somebody who understands what I'm saying right now. You have to get past trying to win somebody through your deeds, okay? You have to get past that. They belong to God and you belong to God. Let them go and get yourself focused on what God has called you to do.
Right. You know what? Something God had put in my spirit the other week, because sometimes when you're doing things for people, when you're doing things for everybody, and you know, you want to be acknowledged. And it's okay sometimes to want to be acknowledged. But like Queenie was saying, is you gotta evaluate yourself. Okay, am I doing this for God? He said, work unto man as you're working unto God. And you know, God had put in my spirit, he said, your war comes from me. He's like, your war comes from me. You can know your accolade. He said, you know, your accolades and all that you want. It's okay. You want to, no matter where you go, what you do, our human side of us want to feel appreciated. You want to feel like, you know, you're a part of something. You want that appreciation. Yeah. And you know, you want them to give you the acknowledgement as to what you're doing and all that you're doing overboard. But God was like, you know, he's like, your award, the work that you're doing is supposed to be for me. Your award comes from me. Don't expect to, because I realize people chooses who they want to give accolades to. They choose who they want to. But the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. You know, and sometimes honor be due to you, but not all the time people gonna acknowledge that. You know, that's why the word tells us to lift one another up higher than we lift ourselves up, because if we do that, we'll all feel appreciated. But at the same time, you know, when you don't get that, You have to, you wait, you say, okay, God, I'm doing a work from you. You know, at the end of the day, my goal and my job, you know, my goal is to make it to heaven. Me doing the right thing is to make it to heaven and do, Lord, I want you to be able to see that my works is for you. You know, although I would like appreciation from somebody, you know, that's just the human fleshly nature of ourselves. But he said, my, your award comes from me. Don't be waiting to be appreciated by Pastor so-and-so or Sister so-and-so or whatever. He said, you need to put your trust in me and knowing that I will, what you do in secret, God will reward openly. So don't worry about getting it from people. You need to understand and realize that the word that you're looking for, you need, is coming from me. And I was like, yes, sir. And so when I realized that it took my fleshly, you know, and sometimes we still war, I still, you know, war with that, you know, because, you know, that your human side of where you are, you want to feel appreciated. You want to be here and thank you. You want to be like, Rita, I praise you. Thank you for doing this. You did this and you did that. And God gifted you to do all of these different things. And, you know, you want to hear a thank you. You want to hear your human nature side. You want to say thank you. And, you know, that make you feel some kind of way. You make you feel appreciated, make you feel good. But sometimes that don't happen. And good on that, guys. And as I go on in life, you got to be okay with that because you realize your reward comes from heaven. It's like we work for men. It's like, don't worry about what men see. We, our goal is to please God. And once I,
Oh,
you can get that in our mind that I'm here to please God. Lord, I'm working hard. Even when we at work, you got to work into these people as you work into God and say, okay, God, you got me here for a reason. You know, Lord, I
come
want to find myself doing whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing while I'm on here because I won't be over here forever. But while I'm here, I want to
on.
do what you have me to do. And if we could keep our mind on that, we won't worry about what we get paid because I know I'm here on a mission. And you know, once we get those things in our mind, we got, okay, God, my reward comes from you. I still got to do the right thing. I still got to respect people, even when they talking and looking at me crazy. You got to still got to, I'm like, Jesus, be offensive around me every
Help
day.
me.
Lord, I'm, woo,
You know,
it's a deal, but we got
and
to
then
know.
the crazy thing about it is, because what you talk, what we're talking about is maturity. It's like, because some people, when you make it past this test or this training, right? Now you had the training. Now when it happens, you're not as hurt, you know, and then as you go down the line, because I'm gonna tell you something. This walk that God has set for you is not gonna be easy. Can I just say, hello? It is not gonna be easy. You're gonna have some folk. And look, the enemy doesn't use strangers to get to you on this on your path. He uses folk that's right there in your heart. He uses folk. Look, whoever's available. Whoever's available.
Whomever.
You don't
That's what I
care.
see.
Whoever's available. I was coming out of my job and a young man that's security guard, I don't even know this man. Coming out of my job, he say, "What's going on, lady?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "I'm trying to get out of here because I got to get the Bible study." He told me, "Oh, what church you go to?" I said, "I got a church in Texas City." "Oh, you," he said, "what, you go to a church or you have a church?" I say, "I have a church." I said, "I'm a pastor. I'm in a rush. I'm trying to show you how quick the enemy will plant a seed." So I say, "Yeah, I got a church out in Texas City. I'm the pastor of the church out of Texas City. I'm not thinking about where this man finna go with this." He said, "How your husband feel about you being the pastor? Is your hus do your hus can your husband handle you being the head of the church? And how does he fit in?" I'm in the middle of going to Bible study, and now all of a sudden you walk up. What? But that's how quick. I don't even know this guy. That's how quick it happens. That's how
Right.
quick the enemy. That's why you gotta always stay prayed up. You understand me? You gotta look. Why when you leave out that front door, talking about I can get prayer at noon. I'll skip prayer this morning. Let me tell you something. The devil hurt you, and he is gonna meet you. Do you understand what
Woo.
I'm saying? He is gonna meet you. He is gonna try you. You do look, don't skip prayer. Because I promise you, that young man and his conversation wasn't light. Do you understand? He was coming at me with guns a-blazing. Do you hear what I'm saying? How you leave? What you do when you get home? Or is you still a pastor when you get home? What is he? Do he wash the dishes and you clean the car? I mean, it was crazy. I was like, what's happening? I was like, young man, I tell you what you do. If you ever want to visit here to church, I'll talk to you later. Okay, all right. Bye-bye. My husband is fine. My husband is fine.
Look.
But listen to me talk about it. See how I'm talking about it now? I'm trying to show y'all how easy it is for the enemy to distract you. And then, boom, I'm in the car with what he just said on my mind. Right. Instead of getting myself ready and prayed up to teach this Bible study list. See what I'm saying? Once I realized what happened, and now I'm praying, trying to shake it off, right? But like I say, you have to be careful. You have to be careful what you entertain. You have to make sure that you don't skip no crap. In this day and time, the devil knows he don't have long, so he trying to get you. I had this dude send me a direct message telling me he want me to be his sugar baby. He read my profile. You obviously didn't read my profile. You couldn't have read my profile.
His sugar baby.
He said, I want to take care of you. I want you to be my... I read your profile. You seem cool and laid back. You must not have read my profile. Because if you had read my profile, you would be saying, pray for me. That's what you'd be saying. But anyway.
Look, sugar let me baby, tell you.
Never heard of that one. But let's make sure we understand how important prayer is. How important it is to put, to make sure that you have something in your spiritual bank account. That you have some, you have prayer left stored up. Just because things, look, you might be getting check after check, new car, new apartment. You might look, things might be looking like they take, but you need to be praying and storing up because it's going to be a season of a storm coming. Right. It's going to be, just like the season of blessings come around, you're going to may have a season of suffering. And you want to have enough stuff stored up. Like I say, when people start walking off and going off and and doing their stuff, you want to make sure you still grounded. You able to stand. You able, come on. I ain't going to say you're not going to get mad. Because the Bible say get angry, but see, don't slash their tires and punch them in the face. Don't do that.
Ooh, see about that. Nah. Look, let me tell you before we go. So last week, I had a similar, well, not exactly similar, but a situation where, like you said, we have to stay prayed up. I was going somewhere, taking my mom somewhere. And so this lady, I was in the right lane. She was in the left lane. We was in traffic. It was after right at 5 o'clock. So they were throwing stuff out the window. And I just kind of looked over to see what was being thrown out the window. It looked like, I don't know, some baby wipes or whatever. And so for some reason, she thought I was, I guess, I don't know what the enemy put in her mind or the impression that I was talking about her. So when she reached up there by my car, she ended up getting on the side of me.
Oh.
She rolled down her window, started calling me all kind of customers and started throwing trash at my car.
Oh.
I was like, geez. And so I rolled my, let me tell you, I rolled my window down. And I just wanted to know why she was throwing stuff at my car. Uh-huh. So I asked her, I'm like, why are you throwing trash at my car? And so her thing was, you was talking so-and-so and so-and-so about me. And I'm like, well, how did you figure that? Like, you can't even see me. Like, I was, Jesus, I said my blood was boiling, my nerves was bad for 2 days. I had to minister the next day in song at a funeral. So, and that was the day before. And so my spirit was just all tore up for like a whole day. I was in the I was praying like, Lord, get this out my spirit.
Yeah, because help me, Jesus.
Jesus, like I was hot for like 2 days. Like, I mean, the situation had long lived, but yeah. I still didn't understand why she was throwing this stuff at my car and calling me all these different cuss words, because she figured I was talking about her. And I'm like, what gave you the impression that I was talking about you? But nevertheless, I just know how that situation could have went real bad real quick, because technically yeah. you know who was in the car that you was throwing stuff to. And this is how road rage began, how somebody could have lost their life real quick, because you yeah. don't know who you throwing it to. I could have had a handgun or something in my car, because you throwing stuff at my car, or vice versa. You could have just shot in my car. You know, it could have went wrong real quick. So at the end of the day, I still had to demote my spirit and say, God, I thank you for grace, because that could have went wrong real quick.
Oh,
I was just like, Jesus. I thought about chasing the car. I was like, oh, Lord.
I'm telling you, I've been there.
I was Jesus. Like, oh, my God. Like, up to this day, I don't know. It's just how people, the enemy can get in people's mind. That's why you say it's important for us to be prayed up. Like, if I was that person, like, I was just like,
hey,
Lord,
Rita,
thank you for the Holy Rita. Spirit. I said, God,
look. Holy Spirit, tell me one time, say, now how does it look, a pastor sitting up in jail? You got the call.
Somebody. Right, and I was thinking about all of that. I'm like, oh. My night was just, and then even the next day, I was just like, Lord, get this out of my spirit. Like, I had to pray. I said, Lord, get this out of my spirit, because, like you said, the enemy is walking to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. You don't know what you will face when you walk out them doors, and you have to pray. I pray against road rage. I said, God, you bind up road rage. You know, everything, you know, I have to pray before I get on these roads, because it's all kind of road rage and stuff and craziness going on now, that you have to be prayed up, because if not, you'll find yourself quick in a situation where you in jail and you're like,
yeah,
how did this happen?
Yeah, and then the crazy thing about it is, when you get in them type of positions, God always makes sure somebody find out about it. Somebody find out about it.
Girl, I'm thinking about, what if somebody video of me fighting somebody?
Yeah. In the street? Look.
I'm like, oh. And I'm like, right. You know, cameras everywhere. You just be like, oh. I'm like, you see how quick you can be entangled with something that was never really meant to be. And that's why it's so important that we have our guards up and making sure we know. I said, oh, because this could have went wrong real quick.
Oh,
but I'm like, I was like, y'all should be thankful that y'all threw the trash in my car and not somebody else's car, because that could have went real bad real quick.
Real quick. Real
and I'm
quick.
Like, I mean, this crazy as people is nowadays on the roads, it's like, I'm like, I'm really kind of thankful for your life that you chose me to throw this at and not somebody else, because somebody else probably would have shot you.
Oh,
and I'm just like, you know, I was mad because the fact you throwing trash at me and cussing me out and calling me all this stuff, because for some reason something told you that I was talking about you and I wasn't. And I'm like, but I mean, nevertheless, you throwing all this trash out the car, littering in the street. If it was the police, you would have got a ticket. But nevertheless, I'm like, I didn't say anything about you. So what made you think that? Just because I looked over and looked outside the car? I mean, I looked out the window. I mean, that's what we normally do when we drive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just like you said, how the enemy can stop you in your tracks while you're trying to do stuff and while you have a mission, and, you know, to discourage you and to keep you unfocused, as we was talking about earlier, you know. So that's why we have to know what battles to fight, because you're like, you know what? You ain't even worth my time. Let me keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to let you make it. I'm going to let you make it. I'm telling you, Tuesday, Nene was on surface and Nene was not laying. I'm serious. Nene was, my husband, I laughed at him and I get mad and laugh at him at the same time, because he'd be like, Pastor. I said, shut up. Leave me alone. But
y'all have battles too, huh?
Oh my God.
You're fighting too.
Oh,
Matter of fact,
Father.
sometimes the leaders have to fight harder.
Oh, we be listen, leaders, and that's what be getting me about people. People think leaders don't go through stuff. That's why, you know, when they was here, this is talking about Kirk Franklin and all that. I was like, y'all must not know. When people in leadership and become stars and do all that kind of stuff, baby, the enemy works, look, always looking for opportunity to make a fool out of you. So you gotta be careful what you do. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Come on, read it and give us your final remark.
Just don't give up. Amen. Have a good one. See you next week. Lord's willing,
Hey,
at Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
don't give up, but stay prayed up. That's all I'm gonna
All of
say.
that.
And don't forget to make sure that y'all keep your eyes open and your Facebook open for the 7-Up program in November. My anniversary service is coming up in October. I'm talking about there's some stuff going on, y'all. Y'all listen.
And it's on
There's some
my
stuff
birthday
going on.
weekend.
And y'all want to be a part of it. I'm going to be having some more creative programs because I want to create opportunities for us to teach, to slow down and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We love you. And make sure that you, like we said, don't give up and stay prayed up. How about that? God bless you and good night.
Deuces.